if you notice on the board, it's a better drawing than the one I did. We want to thank George for that. He thought that there should be a better drawing, but I think the point is well taken, is at the very top, all of that represents people that did not obey God. And down at the bottom, there is a few individuals that did obey God. And the scripture that I had him put down was Matthew 7, 13 and 14, that talks about the straight gate. And that only a few people who are willing to obey God's will find it. And I would like for you to remember that as you go through your life, as you go through and teach people. Try to use that as an illustration of what is going to happen to the majority of people that fail to remember God's word. Tonight, this lesson is going to be something similar, but we are going to focus on remembering who God is. And everything I hope to say tonight will be centered around God and us remembering who He is. Now, the scripture that I had read is one that shows to the world how certain individuals get a particular title that they throw on themselves. They got that word from this passage, Psalms 111 and verse 9. And what I would like to do, I wanted to compare the different Bible translation that's out there and to see exactly what that word is saying in different translations. And basically, I will start off using just one to get the context, but go down to every translation that's dealing with the last part. He has sent redemption unto His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. He's talking about Himself, God. God is holy. And His name is reverent. Now, we're going to find that in other translations, it will change. But I believe the change should get us to see that no man in this world should ever have reverent on his name. And I would suggest, if you want to be a troublemaker, if you have the opportunity when someone introduces themselves as Reverend somebody, and you can pull them aside and go to Psalms 111:9 and ask, where do you fit in the scheme of things with that name? Not being disrespectful. Here's another translation. Holy is His name. And greatly to be feared. Holy and terrible is His name. Two more translations. Terrible is His name. Holy and awesome is His name. And mighty is He. His name is holy and terrifying. Reverent is His name. Now, when we look at those translations, it should tell us something, that this God that is revealing himself is powerful. He is awesome. He is terrible. But he's only terrible to those that do not do his will. As long as we do his will, there's nothing terrible about it. But when we forget who God is, then we need to be fearful. All the rest of them say, fearful is his name. Now, I went to Strong's number just to see what he said. And he says, to fear, to reverent, frighten. All of these things that they're given means that there should be some respect. Now, why would a man have that in his name? Why should we be fearful of a man? Jesus told us we should be fearful of him who can kill both the body, not a man. And I believe a lot of these people just do not understand these words. And if they do understand, if, say, we, or for some reason they come to the knowledge of what this word is, and they still are using that, then they have a problem. And so when they meet God, they have no excuse whatsoever. The word fear is in there 148 times to be fearful of God. To be afraid of God is 78 times. Feared is 39, and terrible is 30. So again, that should tell us something, that we should not play with God. In no way, no shape, no form. We should not do anything that he tells us not to do, because there will be a consequence. Now, this is what the world's definition is. It says, this word is commonly given as a title of respect to ecclesiastical, a clergyman is styled the reverend. A dean, the very reverend. A bishop, the right reverend. And you see, the people that do use these titles, they just don't want to settle for, I'm a reverend. Somebody's got to be the right reverend. The most right reverend. And it goes on and on. If you ever get the opportunity to look inside of a Catholic Bible or Catholic literature of all the people that's responsible, it's interesting. Because everybody wants to outdo everybody else. The word awesome, inspiring awe, admiration, or wonder. The awesome complexity of the universe. So now we see those words, and all of those words reflect God. And we need to remember that. We need to remember those words and other words tells us about God. As we discuss this morning, we start off with Genesis 1 again. And it tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. We cannot deny that the creation shows how powerful God is, and we should always be giving him reverence. That's without any question whatsoever. We're also told that the heavens themselves declare the glory of God in Psalms 19 and 1. We're told in Psalms 97, 6 of God's righteousness. We're told in the Bible that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time. How could that be? How could God be here with us now and across the water with other folks that are worshiping him the right way? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how God does that? No, we can't. And by trying, all we're going to do is get a headache. Because God is everywhere. And we need to realize he's everywhere. When we look at this universe, when we look at just outside, when we look at our babies, when we look at ourself, our makeup, it all speaks of God. Everything about the human body speaks of a God. The conception of life. It works, it produces a baby. And if the baby grows, it produces us. How can that be? God. God has produced all of us. He set things into motion. We should have respect for God and who God is. Because when we forget who God is, we're going to be in trouble. His name speaks of who he is. And we need to remember that. God, the supreme being. So again, in Psalms 111:9, he sent redemption unto his people. Why did he do that? Well, we discussed it this morning. When the man sinned, his plan was to redeem man back to him. What a God. He has commended his covenant forever. He has commanded his covenant to be an everlasting, to where he's going to redeem man if they choose. But there's going to come a day in which the offer on the table will expire. And if we have not accepted him and believed wholly and reverences his name, we're going to be a loser. And we might be up there. There's a passage which I try to make sure that I tell people about and try to remind myself. And Ecclesiastes, he says, when we die, the soul goes back to the giver, which is God. And my picture is this, is that it's sort of like a pendulum. And when a soul has left the body, it goes up to God, and then he will decide where it is going based upon what this soul did. Now, if this soul was found to be faithful, it will be deposited right here. But if the soul was found to be disobedient to God and everything he offered, it's going there. And these people over here is going to be in pain, waiting until that final judgment comes, in which he will then deposit all of those into that eternal place of destruction. And the ones over here that have been found faithful, they will be in heaven with God and Jesus and other faithful saints. Holy and reverence is his name. And so, when we serve God, do we serve him with that reverence, that respect? Is that fear there? There's something that I have been saying for a while, and I understand it for myself. I can only speak for myself. When I stop fearing something, it will get me in trouble. And one of the things that, and I'm using myself, is I don't remember how long ago, but I was diagnosed with diabetes. And when it occurred, the doctor told me what was going on and what had to be done, and I was afraid. And he said, this is what you have to do. And I was doing it faithfully. Over the years, that fear factor started dwindling. And I started paying the consequences of the lack of fear. My diabetes got out of control. Now, most of you have seen me, let's go about 3 or 4 weeks, that I dropped a lot of weight. I look good. But my body was killing me. It was killing me. My sugar was out of control. I didn't fear it anymore. And then I came to the conclusion, I better fear it. I better go to the doctor and listen to him. Do what he's telling me to do if I want to live. And I start listening. And it's slowly getting back in control. But that's what happens when we don't fear something. And when we don't fear God, the consequences is going to be devastating. I tell my son when I talk to him, when are you going to obey God? I keep getting soon. He doesn't fear God. He has no fear of what God is going to do to him because he's disobedient. And I pray that somewhere in his life he would get that fear and then he would do right. And that means everybody else in this world that do not fear God, I pray that they will get that fear so they would obey. If they don't, that's their choice. So we want to look at some points. We want to look at a reverence towards God and to look at it as legitimate fear. Because that's what we have been looking at, telling us about God's name. We need to hold it in reverence and have that fear that if I do not, I will lose. So we need to be saying, I'm afraid of God. I am. We need to be saying, I'm scared, which we should be. We should have a terrifying fear that if I make the wrong step willingly, and I died at that time and that point, I would be lost. Because it can't happen. You know, when we sin, all of us know that we're sinning. We know it. But are we ever thinking about, okay, I'm sinning now, I will repent later. Are we thinking about there won't be possibly a later? If you sin in your state, you will be lost. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 9. And Paul is talking about the result of Jesus humbling himself. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear. If you are afraid, if you have the right fear, you will make sure you do something correctly. You just won't haphazardly do things because you know that if I do this, there could be a consequence. How many times have you heard or seen people that work in a factory, their signs on certain machinery says, warning, don't operate unless power's off. And all of these things. But yet people, when there is a problem, instead of turning off the machinery, they will reach their hands in places to try to fix a particular problem. And how many times have we heard that they've lost that hand? All because they didn't have a fear factor that they would lose. Sometimes Greg and I are talking about different things, and he told me about the machinery that he works with down there at the newspaper. Problems come in and you got an opening yay big and people just stick their hands in it to try to resolve a problem. They're not afraid. They think nothing is going to happen. But when it do, for the rest of their lives, they're going to remember, I should not have done that. Here in South Carolina, it was up there at Marion Park. Somebody decided to go swimming. There is a sign that says, danger, alligators. Supposedly, he did it before. But this time, as he was swimming, Mr. Gator says, I remember him from last time. He ain't getting away. It took his arm off. Now, Mr. Gator died. He died because of this person's foolishness, because they said, we're going to try to restore his arm. But it was too badly damaged to be saved. So for the rest of his life, he's going to look over there and nothing is there. Because he didn't fear. Can you imagine all of those people that are in torment right now, what they're thinking about? What they're thinking about is, I should have done what God said. It's too late to be fearful there. To be fearful is now. In order for us to work out our salvation, and it's a lifelong thing, we grow. If you ask anyone that's been a Christian for a prolonged period of time, the way they was thinking when it happened versus the way they think now that they're older, they will tell you it was a process. They had to learn. And they grew to learn the respect of God. God gives us warning, and we need to remember He is God. We should never forget that He is God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Now most of us are intelligent people. We can read, we can understand, and for the most part, I see the scriptures as easy. Now, yes, there are some difficult passages in which we have to do some studying, and we have to look at the scriptures to tell us what is being said. But for the most part, I think as we read 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We should be telling people that we come in contact with, fear God and keep his commandments. We can teach God is love because he is. He sent his son before the world came into existence. But he gives us a warning. Fear me. There's words in the Bible, the wrath of God. What comes to your mind when you hear that? It is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of a living God. It's simple. But how many people aren't paying attention? We must remember He is God. In Hebrews 10, starting with verse 30, for we know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 12, starting with 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. There's no way we can get around those passages. God demands respect. But he also demands that you fear him if you do not obey him. We must remember who God is, and he is worthy of reverence, which is seen by the legitimate fear of him. A reverence towards God as seen in our respect for his authority. You know, in this world today, people do not respect authority. People break the laws. And they break the laws and they say, this should not happen to me. If you break the law, you should pay. It should not be, if a law is given, there should not be any leniency unless there is a purpose for that. For example, if you just voluntarily get your gun or get your car and go out there and kill people because you just have an attitude, now, if you're defending your family, and it just so happens that this person dies because you are defending your family, that's a different circumstance. So the rules should be according to circumstances. But what we do in this country and other countries, we make up the rules as we go by. It shouldn't be. For example, this is one that we all know the story. We've been talking about it forever. Bob has made comments. Every last one of us has made comments. We're going to be looking at them next week in our Bible class. Is Nadab and Abihu. We need to remember one thing, if nothing else. When God says a matter is to be this way, that settles it. It's not going to change. So, these two individuals did not do what God said. He said there would be a certain fire. And the scriptures tell us this, starting with verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Now, God could have said, Moses, talk to those people. Tell them, I did not command that. Don't do it anymore. And to let them off. But that's not what happened. What happened is, so fire went up from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Did God mean what he said? It's living proof. We as parents, now I know most of us parents today, we didn't do it. As we was raising our children, we told them not to do something. And we even said, if you don't do it, I will. If you don't do it, I will. If you don't do it, I will. And this goes on for years. What do you think that kid is going to do? He's going to do it. Because he don't believe you. Now, if you tell the child, if you do that, I will punish you. The child does it. Instant punishment. The child may do that again. Instant punishment. And after a while, the child ain't going to do that because he knows you mean business. There was a situation in our family. I think it's funny. They don't. They laugh at it now. But when you got two kids, they got to mess with one another. They just got to mess with one another. And you get tired of that. They tell on one another. And so I said, if y'all don't stop, I don't care who did it, I'm beating everybody. Do you think they listen? No! They did it, I got my belt, and I chased them all over the house, whipping them. I think they learned a lesson. And hopefully she can teach it to Cece. When we say no, that's what we mean. And it's the same thing with God because he is God. A reverence towards God as seen in how we approach worship. What is our behavior? What do we think about when the first day of the week comes along? Do we think about what we are going to offer him in our sacrifice of that day? When we come and when we offer prayers or when we sing songs, do we listen to what is being said? Do we sing songs with feelings that it's like we want those words to get up to heaven? Do we put feeling in the songs that is telling us about God and how much he loves us? When lessons are given, do we listen to what is being said? Do we try to take what is being said, what is being offered to us, and says, you know, I'm going to use that the next time I get the opportunity to teach? Or I'm going to remember what was said so I don't make those same mistakes again? Or do we just come here and sit down and keep looking at our watch so that I wish you'd hurry up? What is our attitude? We must give reverence to God when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Do we really think about what this man Jesus, who is God, did for us? How he gave of his life. No one took it. He gave of his life. We need to remember who God is. The thoughts that come into our hearts. Do we remember who God is? He hears it. For example, we have talked about this over and over and over in our Old Testament class. Malachi. The people back then, they were offering to God everything but what he said you should. We have been studying about the types of animals that you're supposed to offer to God. And repeatedly it says, without spot, without blemish. And these people were all offering the lame, the sick, anything that they didn't want to give up that's going to probably give them a profit. And God calls this evil, evil worship. And so if we're not worshiping God correctly, It is evil worship. And do you expect God to bless you if you don't worship Him the correct way? Does God care? Of course. We have a commandment that says, you should not have any other God before me. And that should tell you, you don't do that. God is not going to accept worship that is wrong. He's not going to do that. How can we offer God something that's wrong, that's sick, that He considers evil? When we sing, are we doing it the right way, making melody in our heart, edifying one another? Or as we are singing, we think about what we're going to be doing tomorrow, tonight. Are we thinking about giving God just this little bit of time that He says we are to come together? I've always thought this is my personal opinion, is that we're told to come together upon the first day of the week. And people complain about how long they got to be together. I got things to do. Well, if somebody offered you service that way, would you take it? Would you be happy with that form of service? I don't think so. So what makes us think that God is the same? So when we worship God, we should look forward to worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because He's God. What He's done for us. We should consider how we prepare. How we get up in the morning of the first day of the week. Is there joy in our heart, and how do we express that joy when we come together? Are we sour grapes? In Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We should bring God our best because He is God. Our motivation when it comes to God should be pure. And thinking about how we ought to do something. So the next time you think about God, consider His name is holy and reverent. Last individual that I want to talk about tonight is one that when we read about it, it has to be something great, and that's Daniel. Daniel gave his service to God. He prayed to God. And we know the story. Somebody was jealous of him. And he gets the king to make a decree and say, if anybody is praying to some other god other than you, king, he is to be put to death. And the Bible tells us Daniel continued to pray to God. He continued to serve God, knowing that the decree was in effect. And he did not go into his closet. He did it where he was always doing it, so people would see him. And so when he was caught, he was put into lion's den. And really, think about this. I'm sure those lions, they were prime beef. They were starved. when somebody got into that lion's den, they just tore up. But Daniel goes in there, and the lions was tame. Nothing happened. And so, when Daniel was released, they threw this other guy in it, and those lions came awake. They weren't timid anymore. They had a feast. But Daniel did not hide his respect from God, because he remembered who God was and who God is. And so, for us, we need to always keep in the forefront of our mind just who God is and what He wants. And when we study God's Word, and we see that we ought to do something, which is something that we normally would not do, we better, because He's God. And He's going to hold us in contempt, because He is God. Don't ever lose your fear of God, because it will cause you to do what's right. It will cause you to be faithful. It will cause you to study, because we are to study to show ourselves approved of God. And if we do that, then we will know how to teach, how to evangelize. We will know where scriptures are in the Bible, because we have studied, we have taken crib notes, we got everything that we need to help us to do the Lord's will, because we know He loved us, but we also know that He will hurt us if we disobey. There's that song that we sing, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so, if there's anybody here that has not obeyed God's will of how to become a Christian and how to live our lives as a Christian, I would suggest today will be the day of your salvation, because we're not guaranteed about tomorrow. And I pray that this lesson has been a benefit to you, to get you to always remember God is a God that we are to give reverence and respect to. He said, "For I am holy." And as we have been studying in our Old Testament class, God continues to say, "For I am holy." And you disrespect God, you will lose. If there's anything that we can do, we ask that you make it known as we stand and sing.